All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of John, chapter number 1. John, chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1. Let's stand together as we read the Word of God. John, chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you came, born of a virgin, to die on an old rugged cross so that sinners like we could be saved, our sins could be washed away. Lord, we could meet together tonight and hear Brother Burgess sing, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." I pray tonight as we try to lift up Jesus tonight, I pray that he would be magnified in our midst. I pray the Spirit of God would move on our hearts and help us, Lord, to find a renewed allegiance and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ in our daily lives. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to preach the message tonight, Seven Things That Jesus Became. Seven Things That Jesus Became. We see in our text that we read in verse number 14 that he became flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we know that the Word here is in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is capitalized, signifying that it is a personal pronoun. And so this is the one of the names of Christ, the Lord Jesus. He is referred to as the Word. He is this we have in our laps tonight. We have the written Word, but Jesus, he is the living Word. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus became flesh. He became flesh, born of a virgin. That's something that cannot be said of anybody else, that Jesus became flesh. He is the incarnate God. He is God. He has always been God, and there never will be a time when he shall not be God. Voluntarily laid aside his divine attributes to be born of a virgin, to robe himself in a robe of flesh, to become man, so that he could die on the cross and shed his blood as payment for our sins. And so he was 100% God, and he was 100% man. At no time when he was man did he cease to be God. He laid aside his attributes. He laid aside part of deity voluntarily. But there were times when that deity would show forth. It would show through even in his humanity. But as a man, he became flesh and died on the cross. Bethlehem was not his beginning. The fact of the matter is, he had no beginning because he is God. The Jesus of the Bible is Jehovah God of the Old Testament. Jesus is God. He became flesh. And number two, he became poor. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." The Lord Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, with God the Father in the beginning, and God the Holy Spirit, all three one, the Godhead. He had everything that was in heaven. He owned it all. And not only that, but he also was created everything. Right here in verse number one there, it said, well, in verse number three, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So he was with God the Father in creation. Everything on this earth belongs to him. As far as wealth, his wealth is immeasurable. You cannot measure the wealth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because he loved you and because he loved me, he laid aside all of that wealth, that vast wealth that could not be measured. He laid it aside and he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. I tell you tonight, I don't have a big bank account. I don't live in a big fine home. I don't drive brand new cars. But I'm telling you something, I'm rich beyond anything this world has to offer, because I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. He became flesh. He became flesh. He became poor that we might be rich. Number three, he became obedient unto death. Obedient unto death. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus chose to die. Somebody said, "Who killed Jesus?" Nobody killed Jesus. The Roman soldiers didn't kill him. Me and you didn't kill him. He voluntarily laid down his life for us. He became obedient unto death. He didn't have to die. He could have come down off the cross anytime he wanted to, because he was God. But he chose to die. He became obedient unto death. He chose to die that death of the cross, on the old rugged cross, for you and for me. He chose willingly and deliberately. He gave up the ghost. The Son of God became the servant and lived in humility. Deity laid aside its rights. Self-emptying was not of his nature, but in limiting his power. The life of Jesus was in the will of God, and the cross was the final expression of that will. He was God. He voluntarily died. He became obedient unto death. Number four, the Bible tells us that Jesus became sin. He who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. We read it in Sunday school this morning. The Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus became sin so that he could pay for our sin on the cross of Calvary, shed his precious blood for you and I. He who knew no sin. There was no guile found in his mouth. Everybody that examined him said, "I find no fault in him. I find no fault in this man." He was completely without sin. He was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. That's the only way that the sacrifice of his blood would be accepted by God the Father. It had to be sinless blood. But Jesus on the cross of Calvary, he became sin for you and I. I can't explain it. I don't understand it, but I believe it, because the Bible teaches me that he became sin for us. Number five, he became the author of salvation. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." I tell you, I don't see how you get anything else out of that verse except eternal security. Jesus became the author and the finisher of my faith. There, when he became sin and he became obedient unto death. There on the cross of Calvary, he became the author of salvation and the finisher, the author of eternal salvation. I'm glad that my salvation is not just a hope so or maybe so. It's not just as long as I can hold out or hold on. In fact is, I'm not holding out very well, and I'm not holding on very good. But I'm telling you, his grip on me is stronger than any that the devils of hell can't break. I have eternal life tonight because Jesus became the author of salvation. Number six, he became the first fruits of them that slept. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. The Bible says in verse number 13 there, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now, verse number 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. That tells me that there's some more fruits on the way after that. Jesus became the first fruits of them that slept. He led captivity captive. All those Old Testament saints that were there in Abraham's bosom in paradise got moved up to glory. You say, what kind of body they got? I don't know what kind of body they've got. All I know is they're there. And when Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, having never seen Moses and Elijah, knew who they were. So if I was to die right now and go to heaven, I don't know what kind of body I'd have, but I'll tell you what, I'd be able to recognize people up there. They'd be able to recognize me. And so he became the first fruits of them that slept. And we're going to soon follow. Because Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. And then lastly tonight, I want to cover this, verse number 7. He became the head of the corner. He became the head of the corner. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 11. The Bible says, this is the stone, Jesus, the stone, which was set at naught of ye builders, which has become the head of the corner. I'm telling you, Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is, the Bible tells us, he's the chief potentate. What does that mean? That means he's not in competition with anybody. Jesus has become the head of the corner. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 12 said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm telling you, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you want to get to God in your prayer life, you'll have to go through Jesus. Because the Bible tells us there's but one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, he ought to be highly exalted. He is the head of the corner, and he ought to be exalted. He ought to be worshipped. When we come together as a group of believers, we come, we sing songs about Jesus. Brother Burgess sang that song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. We hear messages about Jesus. We worship Jesus. We exalt the name of Jesus. And when we pray in the name of Jesus. I remember Ron Beatty, a pastor from Winston-Salem. He was invited to the North Carolina State House to pray before they started their work there in the State House. And they asked him to write his prayer out. He said, I don't normally write my prayers out before I pray them. But to be to kind of just be considerate of their rules and their regulations, I went ahead and wrote my prayer out. And so before he was to go in and pray that prayer, they said, "Let me see that prayer. We want to look it over." And he said they didn't waste any time. Their eyes went right down to the bottom of the page. You know what they was looking for? They wanted to know who he was going to be praying to. And right down at the bottom of his prayer, he said, "In Jesus' name I pray." Now, I'll tell you what. He could have put anything else there. They wouldn't have said a thing. He could have put, "In your name I pray." They wouldn't have said a thing. He could have put, "In thy name we pray." They wouldn't have said a thing. But when they read, "In Jesus' name," they said, "You can't pray this prayer." He said, "Why?" Said that word right down there, "Jesus, you can't use that in this place." And he said, "Well, if I can't pray in Jesus' name, there ain't no use in me praying. Because that's the only way you can get to God. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." I remember, I guess it was about 15 years ago or more, Myra Gilbert was asked, I don't know, it had been 15 years, maybe 20 years, I don't know. Myra Gilbert was asked to pray at the PTA meeting. And they told her, said, "You can pray anything you want to pray, but don't mention Jesus' name." You see, Jesus offends people. And especially this world don't want anything to do with Jesus. To be politically correct, you don't pray in Jesus' name. And so she told them the same thing that Pastor Ron Beatty from Winston-Salem said, "If I can't pray in Jesus' name, there's no use in me praying." And I don't know if you ever got to pray or not, Miss Meyer. They didn't ever let you pray. She resigned as the president of the PTA because they wouldn't let her pray in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you something. I think we need to stop being politically correct and go ahead and let this world know whose side we're on. And when we pray, we ought to exalt the name of Jesus. He's to be highly exalted. The name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. I think I'll just confess him a little bit on this side. He's worthy. He's worthy. Seven things that Jesus became. He became flesh, the Bible tells us. He became poor. He became obedient unto death. He became sin. He who knew no sin became sin. He became the author of salvation. He became the first fruits of them that slept. And he became the head of the corner. I hope tonight that he's your Savior. I hope tonight that you have seen yourself at some point in your life as a sinner who deserves to go to hell and suffer the awful penalty of your sin. As Brother Tim said this morning, the sin judgment was taken care of on Calvary. And by the way, the call to salvation was made at Calvary. What louder call could God make to sinners than His Son dying on an old rugged cross with the blood flowing down out of His side and from His head? What louder call could God make than the call that He made at Calvary? I'm going to tell you something. If you reject the call that God made at Calvary for you to come to Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll die in your sins and go to hell. That call has gone out to every man. Jesus tasted death for every man. I'm glad it's a whosoever will, let him come. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved. That call went out to you. Way back yonder over 2,000 years ago, Jesus looked down through time and he saw you. And I believe he saw me. I believe he saw every one of us when he made the statement, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If you're here and you're lost, he's the author of salvation. He'll save you tonight and change your life. I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and you're saved, and Jesus is not precious to you as he was when you first got saved, I'm glad that 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let Jesus be real special in our lives. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed to pray. I'm going to turn the service over to Brother Tim. He can give the invitation as the Lord leads him to. May God speak to our hearts tonight, Brother Tim.